I glanced at a headline and accidentally misread cancel culture as cancer culture. This is probably fitting, given the fact that people all around the world, like the Chinese who call social justice warriors the slur baizuo, are openly calling their behavior cultural cancer. Speaking of cancel culture, it reminds us of big tech and how powerful people are if they can control the means of a society's communication. Look at how in the US Constitution, the Founding Fathers made a provision for a post office, right along with other important institutions like the Navy or the court system. They considered the post office, which was the internet of the day, as critical infrastructure. But what happens when those institutions are abused? Consider the powerful Turn and Taxis family in Europe. They created Germany's first postal system. Run as a private affair, they promised discretion with regard to the letters and parcels they delivered. Unknown to their customers, however, they steamed open the letters, spied on companies and governments, and made business decisions based on that inside information. The founder of the Rothschild banking dynasty grew in financial stature after he befriended the Turn and Taxis family, and they shared intelligence with him. It was critical during the Napoleonic Wars, as a result of which Rothschild made his first big fortune. On the Wikipedia page for the Turn and Taxis postal system, we read, "Members of the Rothschild banking dynasty were involved in funding parts of the system in the last years of the Napoleonic Wars and the immediate years that followed." In the modern age, the same danger exists. Users are told to think up passwords as a ruse to make them think that their accounts are private and secure, when in fact, it's a con. Think of Mark Zuckerberg when he was starting Facebook. Someone asked him how he was getting all these users' information, and his response was, "People just submitted it. I don't know why. They trust me. Dumb." Well, you get the point. He held his users in contempt as he exploited them. Of course, we expect that kind of behavior from private companies, but when the US government has the same attitude, we should be wary. NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden talks about how the government was trying to get rid of encryption so that they could more easily spy on Americans without warrants. Under the Patriot Act, they cobbled together a pretext that it was about tracking terrorists. Snowden writes, "The true explanation for why the US, UK, and Australian governments want to do away with end-to-end encryption is less about public safety than it is about power. ETEE gives control to individuals and the devices they use to send, receive, and encrypt communications, not to the companies and carriers that route them. This, then, would require government surveillance to become targeted and methodical, rather than indiscriminate and universal." The reality is, our government wants to ban encryption on emails in order to sell your data to corporations, like how the Turn and Taxis family steamed open letters to engage in corporate espionage. Does the government pay you for the data that it sells to corporations and foreign governments? If not, it's effectively a tax. The government's making money off you. As with the government snooping on your data and exploiting you financially, they're also making money through other methods of indirect taxation that you're not even aware of. Think about institutional funds in the stock market. Federal government employees put stocks in their pensions. This creates a massive slush fund. Through these funds, the government can take huge positions in companies and essentially take them over. For instance, we're used to thinking of companies like Xerox as private companies. What if I told you that Xerox was 67% owned by the government through institutional funds? Most of the top companies in America are now heavily subsidized by the government, which turns them into de facto state-run operations. Roughly 80% of the assets under management insurance companies come from these government institutional funds, which is why we keep subsidizing the insurance companies, why we keep bailing out the airlines or the car companies. This isn't out of altruism, but because they've morphed into these quasi-socialist state-run behemoths. Walter Burian did a forensic accounting of the federal government in all 50 states. He said that all of them were guilty of having two sets of books. In one, they tell you how much in taxes they collected. In another, the one they hide from the public, they register how much money they made off your tax money in the stock market, and they never declare those gains. The average citizen assumes that his tax money is sitting in a vault. In reality, it goes into a slush fund that the government uses to buy into companies. They make trillions of dollars in profits and don't declare it. See Walter Burian talk about it here.
So when I started looking at the figures on the New Jersey budget report, as I mentioned, there were $11 billion on budget, $6 billion off budget. It showed a net available of $25.6 billion. But then I asked myself the number one question that IRS asks in an audit, what are the cash gross receipts? And I started noticing the large cash cow groups in state government, the New Jersey Turnpike, Garden State Parkway, Port Authority, New York, New Jersey. The revenue was not inclusive in the budget report. I didn't see any large returns from investment funds on the budget report. And I said, they have to have two sets of books here. They're not accounting for the whole picture. The director of the budget at that time was an individual by the name of Richard Keevy. He was on vacation till the following Tuesday of that week. I found out who his lower assistant was, called in, and the conversation went just like this. I said, "Hi, this is Walter Buran. I'm working on a report for Richard. I have to have it done by Tuesday when he gets back from vacation. I need all the figures on the autonomous agency accounts, interest accounts, investment accounts." And the reply I got was, "Oh, you want the comprehensive annual financial report." Bing. First time I ever heard that before in my lifetime. Got it that Friday. Started crunching numbers. It showed a total liquid investment funds of $188 billion. $188 billion. Of which, common stock ownership, $70 billion. On loan to public and private corporations, $10 billion. Insurance company equity participation, $14 billion. On loan to public and private corporations, $10 billion. And I started looking for the total cash gross receipts, as I mentioned, what IRS would ask for in an audit. I found it on page 174. Now, this is 1989's Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. On page 174, under cash additions, all agencies, all departments, all sources. Here's a state with a declared service budget of $17 billion that was bringing in $86,799,000,000 in cash. I saw that figure and instantly realized the definition of syndicated organized crime. Here we had a representation to the public that the state of New Jersey was bringing in $17 billion, when in reality they were bringing in close to $86 billion. They had $188 billion in liquid investment funds. And I also learned the principle of operation that day. Anything that was a cost and an expense, traditional service side of the budget report, health and welfare, human services, motor vehicles, was left under the budgetary basis, and the public footed 100% of the bill for 100% of the services. Now, anything that was a profit center had the ability of being a profit center. Large investment fund that generated tens and hundreds of millions of dollars, totally restricted by statute for no tie or inclusion whatsoever with the budgetary basis.
Basically, the government is making money off you in a million different ways, and then crying poverty. Like when they sell your IRS information to foreign countries without your knowledge or consent. As outlined in the Wall Street Journal article, IRS begins sending individual account information to foreign countries. Quote, "The Internal Revenue Service has kicked off a new program under which it shares large amounts of individuals' financial account information with certain foreign countries," the agency said Friday. So, basically, Israel or England have access to more personal information about you than you have access to, and they can use it to data mine you. This information is lucrative, and the question arises again, are you getting a cut? It's your data, and if someone's profiting from you and not remunerating you, isn't it essentially a tax? You're making the government money, and no one consulted you or asked your permission. The upshot is that politicians are cowards. They don't want to raise taxes openly because they don't want to risk getting voted out of office, so they think of a million sneaky little ways to come up with revenues, legal and not so legal. Heck, even inflation is a backdoor tax levied against the citizens without a vote. They claim that there's currently a 7.9% inflation rate, although in reality it's more like 15% if we use the calculation method they used in 1980. So think of it as a 15% tax on everything you buy, and all because the Federal Reserve decided to flood the system with more fiat currency. It's a task that no one voted on and no Congress passed through. It's literally taxation without representation. Long story short, the government wants you not to have encryption on your emails because they want you to be transparent, like a good little mark. They want it to be easy to data mine you and sell that data to make money off you. It all goes back to that quote, in a free society, the government is transparent and the people have privacy, whereas in a police state, the government claims it has a right to privacy and the people are supposed to be transparent. Luckily, our government is still surprisingly responsive. If it sees people organizing, spineless politicians fold surprisingly fast. Corruption can be rooted out, and has been. Look at how school boards have been flipped recently by concerned citizens taking action. But this only occurs when people get together and become engaged. One such method of organizing on the local level is offered by the John Birch Society, which has chapters in every community. The John Birch Society makes a difference, which is why the establishment fears it. Get together with your neighbors. Unite. Check out jbs.org and find a local chapter near you.